Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Greg Pickle. And it's time for Ask Greg, brought to you by DraftKings. Week 3 of football is in the books. Time to get ready for week 4. No better place to do that than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to add to the excitement of week 4, DraftKings Sportsbook, it's bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. You pick any team during week 4, bet $1 on them, and if they win, you win $100. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Profit boost, terms and conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, it is quarter number 3. That means it's time for Ask Greg. If you want your question answered by the great Greg Pickle, you send your question in through the app. There's a real nice Ask Greg button there. Push the button, give us your question, and hopefully we'll be able to read it on the air. Your other option is you could email us at info@ksnsports.net, and we will get your questions. All right, Greg, you ready to roll?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with Mike in Charlotte, North Carolina. Small schedule note. I love that we're playing Michigan State as the last game of the, and he has it in quotes, regular season. The Big Ten always accommodates Ohio State and Michigan. Can Penn State and Sparty request that they get to play each other as the last game each year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question moving forward here, Jim, is obviously Penn State was in that cycle there where it was playing Maryland and Rutgers at the end of the year for whatever reason. Michigan State now back on the schedule. So the Land-Grant Trophy is back in play as the quote-unquote regular season finale, so that'll be interesting. I mean, yeah, I could see that being the case. And the Big Ten certainly, and I think in a normal year, Jim, will take input, and obviously, you know, they've always tried to put a quote-unquote rivalry game at the end of the season, so I don't know if Michigan State and Penn State are a forced rivalry or not, but I could see that becoming the norm moving forward. But I could also easily see it becoming a case where once we get back to a normal year, so to speak, that Rutgers or Maryland ends up filling that last spot.
I know Mike seems to care about it. As the fan myself, I don't. You know, I realize Ohio State and Michigan look at each other as their rivals, so Penn State's going to be a little further down in the pecking order. But I'll tell you what, if you're a Penn State fan, Ohio State is the game, and Michigan, I think, is second most on there. So
yes.
Anyway, let's go with Chris, who is from State College. Even though I believe an announcement came out saying that they are going to play all the bowl games, Chris wants to know, does anyone really think the Pinstripe Bowl or the Pool and Weed Eater Bowl will still be held? Athletic departments across the country are hurting for money. Do you think they really want to send a full team to a bowl game? With 41 bowls, how many will actually be played?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, obviously, you're going to have a smaller than normal pool of teams who either are, I guess there is no win requirement for bowl games this year. Anyone who wants to go will be in. So, yeah, I don't know. I could see some schools saying, look, we really don't want to spend the extra money. But I guess it really will come down to, as it always does, the finances of it, Jim. And do you make more money for that bowl game being played than you do expenses to go to and participate in the bowl game? So I do think as long as the COVID stuff doesn't flare back up in a crazy way again, that we will have some bowl games, Jim. Maybe not every single one of them, but I would say more of them than not. Ultimately, everyone wants the distribution about bowl games to schools. And obviously, the games themselves and the advertisers that kind of foot the bill for them want the chance to get their stuff out there, too. And they have been impacted by the pandemic as well. So I think as long as everything is kind of okay on the COVID front, that we'll see maybe a good majority, perhaps not all, but a good majority of the bowl games.
And there's also some other factors this year. Do the television networks want the bowl games more than normal to make up for some of the games that were lost, and the advertisers also? Do you also have a situation where fans, if they were allowed into those games, you have, say, a Penn State crowd that hasn't been able to go to any games at all this year. If they were allowed to go to a bowl game, might they be more inclined to do it because they haven't been able to go all season long? So there's some additional factors, I think, going on with the bowl games this year. And also the fact that it was an abbreviated season, that extra game and that extra practice that teams get might be another incentive for the coaches.
Yes. All right. And keep in mind, Jim, that ESPN owns a lot of these games or has an ownership stake in a lot of these games. So you make a great point there about the television networks, too. They're going to have a big say in a lot of this as well. But, of course, there'll be no bigger say than the schools that make up these games. Obviously, if they don't want to go and play, then that puts a wrench into things.
Right. I realize the cost factor, but in other seasons, they can lose money on a bowl game, especially one of the lesser bowl games, but it gives that extra month of practice for the teams, which all coaches want, another chance to play in front of prospective recruits, a lot of other reasons why they are attractive to schools. All right, next up is Bill in Easton. He says, position group versus position group, how do you think we stack up against the better teams on our schedule? Greg, I'm going to narrow that down a little bit. How do the position groups compare to Ohio State's?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you have to give Justin Fields the nod in the quarterback position. I think, you know, running back and tight end, Penn State probably has an edge. Receiver, I'd give to Ohio State. Offensive line, I don't know. I mean, Penn State has such a veteran group, but it has a first-year offensive line coach. Maybe that's a wash. I'd maybe give a slight nod to the Buckeyes. Defensive line, I'm going to have to give the edge to Ohio State. Linebacker, I think, is probably pretty close, but without Micah Parsons, it's really neck and neck. And then the secondary, I probably would give Ohio State a slight advantage as well, although they lost a lot of guys back there, though Sean Wade comes back, so that'll help. But yeah, and then special teams, I'd probably give Penn State a small edge there too, just because of how good Jordan Stout is. So I mean, look, I think clearly Penn State can match up with them. They've recruited well. We've seen them be able to match up with Ohio State, even with the backup quarterback having to come in. So it's not like they're super far apart, but to me, it's all about Clifford and how close can he be to Justin Fields' level. He's not going to be Justin Fields, I don't think. Kirk Schrock could be a miracle worker if so, but can he at least be close? That's going to be the key in that game.
I agree. And what's encouraging, Greg, as you went through those position groups, it wasn't, gee, Ohio State dominates here or there. There's a lot of either Penn State could be better or their toss-ups. So man for man, it does feel like this Penn State team matches up pretty well with Ohio State and anybody else on their schedule. Is this the most talented Penn State team James Franklin has had?
Yeah, I think so. And that's, maybe a little bit surprising to say, again, with no Micah Parsons, with no, no Micah Parsons, no Etor Gross-Matos, and, it certainly could be even better. And obviously there's some talent but inexperience and question marks at receiver, but all told, Jim, in my book, I would put this group up with any that Penn State and James Franklin have had. But again, I think so much of it is going to depend on how big of a stride forward Sean Clifford takes. I just think that's the key to this whole thing. And if he's really improved, then Penn State's going to be just fine in that national title hunt. But if he's getting hit a lot and he's banged up like he was last year and his footwork is a little messy and accuracy is a problem as it was at times a year ago and receivers aren't helping him and dropping passes and running the wrong route and everything else, then this is going to be, I think, a frustrating experience for fans similar to last year. So that's going to be the proof will be in the pudding before long, but that to me is the biggest key.
All right, here's an intriguing question. Tony from Philadelphia says, assume that after 8 weeks all the Big Ten West teams have at least one loss, and assume all the Big Ten East teams also have losses except for Penn State and Ohio State, who won all of their games, but their game against each other was canceled due to COVID. Who would then play in the championship game in week 9? Now, I know Tony here makes it real specific, but I think the question could be put a little bit more in general. If you have, ties and teams didn't play each other, how do you accommodate for COVID and maybe one team didn't play as many games as another?
That's a good question, Jim. I have not seen that released by the Big Ten yet. I mean, you would think at some point that they would have to put that out in writing about what they plan to do, but they haven't yet. You know, James Franklin's going to talk later this week. Perhaps at that point in time, we will get some straight answers about what that plan is. But that's a good question. I wish I knew the answer. I hate being the guy that doesn't know the answer, but I really am not sure. What I do know is that, obviously they're going to have some kind of mechanism in place to handle that because, clearly, that's going to be a problem that could present itself before the Big Ten title game arrives.
Well, it certainly can, especially with that. If a player's infected, he has to be out for 21 days, which is 3 weeks. God forbid you have a team with an outbreak that is great enough that it doesn't allow them to play. If all of a sudden you had a team miss it, where they have to cancel 3 games and they go 5-0.
Right.
And another team is 7-1. How do you do that? How do you determine a winning team? And this is something that every sport has to handle. We saw a little bit of this in Major League Baseball with a couple teams there who, missed a week of play, but they were able to make it up with several doubleheaders. You don't have doubleheaders in college football, and you don't even have one free week for makeup games. So this could be a problem, couldn't it, Greg?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something to keep an eye on. You would hope that the daily rapid testing really makes this a non-issue, but it still could pop up, absolutely.
It definitely can. All right, that is going to have to be it for Ask Greg. Greg and I are going to consult, figure out who our winner is this week. I commit to announcing the winner at the start of quarter number 4. So stick around. We'll get that winner.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook, you don't want to miss this. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. Pick any team during Week 4, bet $1 on them, and win $100 if they win. That's code KSN for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Profit boost terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.